reaction. Now, there's been a big reaction to the Nolan Live interview with the singer Brian Kennedy on Wednesday night. If you want to see it, it's on the BBC iPlayer. Just head in Nolan Live in the iPlayer and you can watch the programme. Brian went through life-altering surgery after being diagnosed with rectal cancer in 2016. He told me what life has been like since the surgery, and he's now living with a stoma.
Well, I'm currently right in the middle of 5 months of chemo. I'm about five sessions in. I just had a session on Monday, and I've got 12 to go through. So it's every 2 weeks for 5 months. I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. The worst is over. I had the operation, the big surgery. You know, that was
nice. How did you find out? And where were you?
When what?
When the news that you were going to have all of those operations.
Yeah, well, I only had one operation. It was 9 hours long.
Yeah, so, all of those things done to your body.
Oh, yes. You're talking about the twins, the stomas that I'm talking about. Yeah, I mean, I fought it for ages. You know, I went down an alternative route and, you know, because that's just the kind of person I am. I didn't want to leave any stone unturned. But I always kept one eye on oncology because, you know, I'm not stupid. These modern diseases really need modern medicine as well. As much as it was kind of interesting to me to look at veganism and herbalism and, you know, vitamin C therapy and hyperbaric, you know, oxygen therapy, all these things. Really what was happening was the tumour was getting thicker. And it never metastasized. It never went anywhere else in my body. It was always just in the rectum. But anything that happens down there, they basically were saying to me, look, you're going to have a colostomy bag. And I was thinking, really, I'm too young to have that. I mean, how can I be this young and have to face now? Of course, as I've now found out, there are loads of people, over 40,000 people on the island of Ireland have colostomy bags, or in my case, two, a urostomy and a colostomy bag. So, yeah, I do call them the twins. And
they sit here?
Would you like me to give you a little look?
Yeah.
I don't mind. I mean, I'm not shy. I won't, as they say in this part of the world, whip out my wab. That's not going to happen. You're just going to see the tops of the bags. So if you see, let me see. So can you see that? Get a good look. Can you all see that? I'll stay still for the camera. So this is, they're obviously nearly biracial. One's black, one's white. And this one is colostomy, this one is urostomy. And part of the reason of coming on your show tonight is to really take the stigma away from the stoma. Because I know there are people at home right now who maybe don't know me and don't looking at me and thinking, well, you would never know, would you? Because they're so neat and everything. So I just want fellas out there, particularly in this part of the world, to go get checked. Don't be embarrassed about the fact that it's all this stuff below the waist. I am living a really full life at the moment.
Well, let's speak to Chris in Derry this morning. Morning to you, Chris.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning. So you were watching the programme on Wednesday night and this was close to your heart. Tell me why.
Yeah, and a similar story to Brian. In 2016, October 2016, I was diagnosed with a large rectal tumour.
You're a firefighter, right?
Yes, I'm a fully operational firefighter.
You're married, you've three children.
Indeed, yes.
And all of a sudden this massive life-changing event in your life, you find out in 2016 you've got rectal cancer.
Well, thankfully, Stephen, mine's turned out just to be a large tumour.
Right.
It had high-grade dysplasia, but it was a large rectal tumour at the end of the day.
What's high-grade dysplasia mean? What's that mean?
It had slight changes. If I had let it go any longer, it would have changed the cancer. So I was lucky that my surgeons got it early in that respect. So all I had to have was the operation to have the colostomy and my rectum removed. Hello?
Yeah, no, I'm just wondering that when we're all plodding along, right, as we do, you know, the majority of us going to work and trying to do whatever job we do and go home again and stay safe. That's essentially what we do and look after people we love.
Yep.
We're all kind of the same when you boil it down. What happens when you're given that shocking news? Like, were you?
Oh, it's absolutely devastating, Stephen. Absolutely devastating. And as you say, everything goes through your head. What am I going to do about my job? What am I going to do about my family? You know, it's just a shock at the time. And to say that you're numb when you get that diagnosis is because there was at one stage in the hospital, I was sent for any number of scans. And there was one stage I was sitting in the radiology unit of Alton Galvin Hospital and I just completely melted down. So you imagine that you have a 15-stone fireman sitting in a wheelchair and just completely melting down.
You mean crying or what?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, Stephen. It's just, you know, it's something you dread and when it hits you, it's just absolutely yeah, you know.
How old are you, Chris?
How old am I? I turned 49 in November last year.
That's relatively young, isn't it?
Yeah. I was 47 9 days before my operation.
And had you been noticing symptoms much before you went and got it checked out, or what? How did that work?
For a few months before, I had noticed obviously bleeding, you know, slight bleeding. But being the big, brave man and typical man, you know, you just stick your head in the sand, Stephen, and get on with it. Oh, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm all right. It's something that'll pass. It's just piles. I presented to my doctor. My wife badgered me. So my wife always goes on about how she saved my life. It was her who eventually said, "Hey, listen, you need to go to the doctor." So I went initially to the doctor in July of that year, and I had a cursory examination and came away with lactulose and a referral to the hemorrhoid clinic. And it carried on then until October. And I was sitting on the station one day on the 6th of October, and we were having a lecture. And I had noticed myself for a few weeks just getting tireder, and it was getting harder and harder to go up and down stairs and things like that. And I eventually had to say to my boss at 11:15, I says, "Listen, I just can't do this anymore. I have to look sick because there's something wrong." I got an appointment the next day with a locum GP, and at 10 o'clock that morning, she took blood tests, and it was the look of shock on her face when my wife slid a photograph across the table that had been taken 6 months earlier, and the amount of weight that I had lost, and my colour. And by 4 o'clock that afternoon, I had received a phone call that I needed to go straight to Elton McGavin Hospital, that there was a team waiting for me.
And that's when it gets really scary.
That's when it gets really scary then. I spent 9 days in hospital getting 4 blood transfusions, any number of scans, and that's where they found the large rectal tumour. And I think 3 weeks later, I had my first consultation with Mr. Gidwani in Elton McGavin Hospital. And he said, "Listen, you have to have this colostomy, and it's going to be permanent."
And Brian Kennedy on Wednesday night's programme, Nolan Live, did an incredible job of destigmatizing having those bags.
Oh, absolutely!
You know, he lifted up his shirt and he showed people what was on his body, and he said he was doing it to try to take the stigma away.
Yes, it's the thing about bodily functions. People don't like to talk about bodily functions. Anything related to number ones and number twos, it's la la la, fingers in the ear. I don't want to hear it. But as Brian said, I think there's roughly, yeah, I think he's right, about 40,000 people living with a stoma.
Is a stoma a bag?
The stoma is the actual opening. The stoma is
actually, okay, so that's the hole that they,
yes,
they put whatever it is, the little pump or whatever it is into, and then that's how you urinate and defecate and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, that's it, yes. The bag then is what covers the stoma. That's what catches the output. Sort of, you know, there's roughly about 13,500 operations per year for people getting stomas. And it's for all sorts of illnesses. It's not just for rectal cancer. There's people living with colitis and Crohn's and IBD and, you know, other diseases as well that people can end up with stomas.
See, when they say, Chris, that because Brian said, and I should have asked him, when Brian said on Wednesday night, you know, they've removed his rectum.
Yep.
And that's what's happened to you.
Yes.
Like, what do they remove? Is it the tube in your body, or what are they removing? When I think rectum, I think that's your bum, but I don't actually know what they're removing.
it's everything. What happens is my operation was 11 hours. And during that operation, what they do is they go in keyhole through your stomach. They separate the blood supply from the colon. The colostomy there's different types of stoma. You've got the colostomy, which comes from your large bowel or colon. You've got the ileostomy, which comes out of your lower bowel. And then you've got the ureostomy, which comes out of the bladder. So I ended up with a colostomy. So they separated my large colon. They brought it outside my body and formed a stoma. And then they tied off the lower part. And then that's when they come outside and then go actually up and actually cut round the anus and the rectum and go up and remove everything and sew you back up again.
And they remove all of that so that it can't become cancerous or what?
Yes. It's just they take everything away so that the tumour can't spread and can't metastasize to other parts of your body.
And when that's happening to you, or when that has happened to you, because it was potentially a life-threatening moment, you know, do you care that much?
You don't, Stephen.
Is it embarrassing, or do you not care because you're alive and you're lucky to be alive?
At the time, you know, I didn't have time to think about it at the time. It was a rush for me. It was 6 weeks from diagnosis until I was lying on the operating table. It gave me back my life. I wasn't this tired, grey person sitting in the corner. It gave me the new lease of life. It has let me meet, lots of people who are trying to do the same thing as Brian was doing the other night, raise awareness of people living with this stoma. It's numbing at the time. You don't have time to think about it at the time, but then afterwards, you know, during the recovery, you have time, oh my God, what has actually happened here?
And I'm sorry to ask some of these maybe more awkward questions, but I think the whole purpose of what we did on Wednesday night and also what we're doing with you today is, you know, there shouldn't be a stigma around this, and therefore I don't want there to be an awkwardness around some of the questions that I think, well, why not ask, okay?
Nope.
And hopefully you're happy with that.
Yep.
So if you have these bags, right,
yep.
Essentially to go to the toilet, does that mean when you're walking down the street, whatever, you could be going to the toilet?
Yes.
Is that what happens?
That's exactly it, Steve. You have no control anymore. Colostomy is fine. Colostomy, it's not as active. You might. In fact, you know, I could be sitting talking to you and having a poo.
And do you feel it?
No. Sometimes you would. Sometimes you would. Other times you could just be sitting and you just feel a wee bit of extra padding in the bag. You don't generally feel it.
And so how do you deal then with the smell?
There is no smell. Stephen.
Okay.
The bags are all sealed and filtered. And it's the same as anybody else going to the toilet then. Yourself, you go to the toilet, you get a smell. When we take our bags off, there's a smell, but once the bag is disposed of, then the smell goes away.
And you throw the bag out every day or what? Or do you empty the bag and put it back on, or is it a new bag each time, or what happens?
There's different bags and pouches. Some people change every day. I'm one of those people. I change last thing at night before bedtime. Other people... people with ileostomies, theirs is more active, so they would change maybe 3-4 times a day. Your ostomies as well, they tend to have open bags. Some people have open bags where they can just go up and go over a toilet and let it drain out, the same as anybody else carrying out their own bodily functions.
Sure.
As the man once said, a head man once said, it's just a different way of doing a normal bodily function.
And Chris, how would people with these stoma, how do they deal with being intimate with their partners when you have those? And I hope you don't mind. I'm trying to ask some of the obvious questions.
Okay. Intimacy is a big thing. Stephen, obviously, you know, I'm a married man. I love my wife. And it is a hurdle that people have to get over. You know, it's one of these things. People, you know, you've got the whole thing of body image and things like that afterwards. But, you know, you have to remain positive. Yeah. There are dangers with surgery. You know, there are dangers with surgery. Any dangers, you know, because it's in that area, and it's that whole area has been affected by it. But, you know, there are people living, have normal sex lives with a stoma.
And look, you're alive, which is...
I'm alive, yeah.
That's the bottom line, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, anything else comes second, presumably.
Yep.
And have you been able to continue with your firefighting job?
I have. I was of the opinion...
That's brilliant.
When I was first with my consultant in November, or October 2016, was my first consultation with Mr. Goodwanick. And one of my first questions then was, listen, I have 24 years done in the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service. Can I return to my career? And he said yes. And that was a big switch-on moment for me. I set myself a goal after that. I wanted to return to full operational duties within 12 months. And I achieved it just a month late. 13 months later was the first time I stepped back on a fire engine.
Sure, Chris, that's incredible, mate. So you're actually out there being a firefighter, having gone through this?
And the support that I received from my colleagues in the Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service and the guys in Red Watch Northland were absolutely brilliant. You know, support all the way. I had to go through the retraining process to prove that I was able to go back on the fire engines, and I went through it. And the guys would step in and try to protect me and say, "Chris, listen, you need to take things easy." But I said, "Listen, guys, I have to prove that I can do this again. You know, I've been through this operation. I want to prove to myself that I can do it." And thankfully, November 2017, I was able to step back on fire engine again.
Do you feel proud of yourself?
Stephen, you know what? People say that, that it should be. I'm just out there. I'm doing what I'm doing. Yeah. I've been dealt a hand of cards.
I think it's pretty amazing, you know.
Thank you very much.
I really do. So, yeah. What's it matter what I think? I think it's pretty amazing. I think if it happened to me, I'd crawl up in a ball. I'd feel sorry for myself. I'm not sure if I'd come back to work.
Yeah.
And here you are in a public job that saves people's lives, and you're out doing it again within 13 months of that life-changing moment, Chris. It's amazing.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you. I try. And that's why I do things like this now. People need to know that it's not the end of the world. Having a stoma isn't the end of the world. It's just a different way that we do a bodily function. I do have to take extra precautions. I have to wear support belts, and I do have to be careful, but I can still go out there and do it.
Well, listen, thank you so much for contacting the programme, mate, and I wish you and your family well in the future.
Yeah, you're welcome, Stephen.
Thanks a lot.
Stephen,
Chris,
can I just say, on the 8th of April in Templemore Sports Complex, we are running the first ever ostomy-only swimming event in Templemore Sports Complex. And if people want to come, can I leave my details with your researchers?
Of course you can. Of course you can.
And also, if anybody fancies giving me some funds, I am raising money for the Firefighters Charity. I've decided to take my stoma for a three-day walk across the Sahara Desert.
You what?
I've decided to take my stoma for a three-day walk across the Sahara Desert.
Across the Sahara. So not up the... Not along Royal Avenue or up some road in Belfast. The Sahara Desert.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's one of these things. It was time to pay back, Stephen. I can't thank everybody individually for what they did for my family my illness.
Wow. Well, stay in touch with us from the Sahara Desert.
I'll try. I will tweet and Facebook and whatever else, social media, from there.
Bring your mobile. We want you on air.
Oh, well.
Thursday, there mightn't be too many signals in the Sahara Desert, but sure. Chris, thank you, mate. Thanks very much.
You're welcome, Stephen. Thanks for having me.
It's a special story this morning, isn't it?